Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Season 4, Episode 2 of Back to the Past, an Older History Podcast. My name is Rohan, and I'm one of the co-hosts. The other one's Nick. And today, we're talking about a scenario that's a very interesting one and something that wasn't really possible, but I still wanted to explore this. So, what if the Christmas truce resulted in the Great War ending?
Yeah, all right, guys. So here's some background information for the scenario before we get into it. So, as we know, in 1914... The great powers of the world, except the United States at the time, all went to war with each other. Russia, France, and Britain on one side, and Germany, Austria-Hungary, and eventually towards the end of 1914, it would be the Germans, the Austro-Hungarians, and the Ottomans. So what we wanted to explore was more so what happened on the Western Front in 1914, on Christmas Day, of course, and it's called the Christmas Day Truce. So during the Christmas Day Truce, there was actually a day of just peace, and you know, British, German, French, German, they were all playing football together, having fun. And so on the next day, what's interesting about that is that they went back to fighting each other, and unfortunately that little truce never happened again, and you wouldn't see this truce ever happen again during any war. And it's really just a miracle in the sense to think about it, that people were still able to come together despite both their countries being at odds with each other geopolitically. So, what we wanted to explore today is, what if that Christmas truce became an actual just truce in general, let's say a resetting of the borders, and that they were able to calm down tensions between each other. So, first off, I think what we should note here is that, would this count with Russia as well or no? Because, from what I know at least, there was maybe small truces on the Russian front. I might be incorrect about that, but it was mainly on the Western Front. So do you think that the Russian Front would still be at war with each other? Or do you think the Russian Front would still be at war with the Germans and Austro-Hungarians, along with the Serbians joining in with the Serbian Front, or no? Or should we have it more so where both the West and Eastern Front are calmed down as a result of this Christmas truce?
So that's a really interesting question here. So I think I want to mention, I guess, that I don't think the Tsar would leave the war per se, even though his population wanted him to. And we can see this, I guess, with the troubles that happened in Russia as a result. The population wanted to leave the war, but the Tsar didn't. He just didn't want to. So I think that the Tsar isn't going to end the war. And when France and Britain now pull out, I think Russia is going to hate the West now, specifically the Tsar, because he's going to view these two nations as essentially abandoning him. So I think in this scenario, I think the war would still be going on between the German Empire and the Russian Empire.
Now, this brings up a very interesting scenario. And the case is that why would the British let that happen? And the reason why I'm saying this is because Britain was a proponent of a balance of powers in a sense, where Germany, if one country became too powerful, Britain would form a coalition against it. And we saw this multiple times through the Napoleonic Wars of France, Russia during the Crimean War, and which they formed with France and the Ottomans, and even during World War I and World War II against Germany mainly. And if Russia were to fall in this sense, because let's be honest here, even with the Western Front even being attacked in this scenario, and we would see this with, for example, in 1916, where as a result of the Russians really losing terribly on that front, on the Eastern Front, the French and the British would have to put on some desperate attacks in order to even keep the Germans preoccupied. And so I think in this case, I don't know how we could have a war between Russia and Germany in this scenario without Russia losing. And this is without the Western Front even being preoccupied. So it's about 1 million more Germans freed up to fight against Russia. So I think we should take this scenario in terms of Britain not getting involved. And I think that would create a very interesting 1920s to begin with.
Now, before we continue, we're going to have a short message from our sponsors. So before we move on to the actual scenario, I wanted to ask a quick question. Do you think the Treaty of Brest-Litovsk would still happen in this scenario? So that was actually a treaty between the new Bolshevik Soviet Union in 1918, before the war officially ended in the West, with German Empire to essentially seize a bunch of land in order for Russia to stop fighting the Germans. So do you think that Russia would be able to get away with a deal essentially like this? Or do you think Germany would push for more land and maybe even reach into the heartland?
Well, in our scenario, the land taken with Brest-Litovsk was the Russian heartland in a sense, where 25% of its population was taken. It's, I believe, if I'm correct, around 75% of its raw materials. And I'm not so sure about the second number, but the first one is correct. I know that for sure. It was 25% of the population. And in a sense, I think they already did take the heartland during that treaty. But then at the same time, I think we should also look at the fact that I think the treaty would be relatively similar in a sense, where, for example, Austria-Hungary would be stable, but Germany would be basically leading the helm of, let's just say, a Middle Europa or a European Union in this scenario. And so there would be, of course, Poland. There'd be Poland, of course. There'd be Ukraine. Literally any area that was an ethnic majority of an area in Russia. I think Finland would be freed, for example. But speaking about that, you were talking about communist Russia as well. My opinion on that, I want to transfer over to the Russian Revolution specifically. I don't think that would happen in this scenario, at least the communist revolution. I think the democratic revolution definitely still has a chance of happening, but I'm not sure if it would happen 100%. Now, there is the Russian Revolution of 1905, which definitely set the stages for 1917's revolution, but, and I'm talking about the February Revolution. But I think it would still happen, but I'm not so sure about it. What about you?
I think this would happen because it's been boiling down for a long time, and it really just kind of gets pushed through with this war. And like we mentioned, the fact that now Germany is just taking and beating the Russian military, essentially, most likely because now they don't have to deal with the West, I think it's only a matter of time before the Tsar falls. And I'm not sure exactly if the Bolshevik Party would be able to gain power, because I think by the time the Democratic Party gets in, the war would be over most likely, or they would probably be forced to sign a deal because it's going that badly for them. So I think that the Democratic government would have the time to actually spend on their people now. But I don't think a Bolshevik revolution would exactly happen. So it's interesting to note now, will we see a major communist state pop up anywhere? Like, I don't know if communist China would really be able to get the backings or the knowledge that they had in our timeline with the Soviet Union there. But moving back on, I don't think the Bolshevik Revolution would happen. But I wanted to now ask you this. How are the 1920s look now with this, as you said, this Middle Europa as the German Empire? How would the British Empire and the French Empire react?
In a sense, I think that presents a very interesting point to where, like I said, I think they would have to form a coalition in a sense, like they do usually, like Britain usually does. As I mentioned before, they tend to form coalitions whenever there's a major European power. But the difference is that Britain failed to prevent this one this time. And so I have exactly no clue how they would react in terms of beating them militarily, in a sense, because now Germany's the primary dominant power in Europe, and I'd say probably the entire world at this point, because they basically won the First World War. They basically just won World War One in a sense, but let's just excluding the Western Front, of course, but they basically just won World War One in a sense. Now, I think 1920, now I'm going to take it in different theaters. For example, we're going to talk about Britain, for example. I think in Britain, at least, I think there might be a similar yearn. I don't think there would be a similar yearning to war as there was in World War One, but I think that Britain was not worn out by World War One. Definitely would be interesting. They definitely wouldn't be as bad economic sense. And I think it's the same thing with France, for example, as France in this scenario would definitely be a little bit more militaristic. Also, I think it's important to note because I feel like with World War One. Especially World War One, I feel like their whole militaristic part of the French culture was collapsed as a result. And we saw this through World War Two, where the French were relatively lax, and you could see this from multiple examples of World War Two, where, for example, the French were ordered to invade Germany a little bit, but then they just went back to the Maginot Line in a sense. And I feel like in that case, for example, let's just say even for World War II World War One, quote unquote, was to happen between the great powers of Britain and France and Russia, let's just say on one side, and then Germany on another. Now, I think taking it out of Western Europe, I think we should also turn it to Central Europe. And I think Austria-Hungary's problems definitely do come to play, especially after the death of Franz Joseph. Then we see the rise of Karl I of Austria-Hungary, in a sense. And I don't think Austria-Hungary could be salvaged at that point. And it's mainly because of the ethnic tensions between the Austrians and the Hungarians. And as you know, in actual history, the Hungarians and Austrians have not gotten along. And the only reason why Austria's even survived at this point, to like the 1920s, for example, in this scenario, is because of the fact that Austria and Hungary united into Austria-Hungary, in a sense. So I think there would definitely be huge ethnic tensions, if not a civil war almost guaranteed in Austria-Hungary during the 1920s. And I think this would result in potentially a German Anschluss of Austria, in a sense, and while Hungary becomes an independent nation.
I actually liked your opinion of a German Anschluss of Austria. I think that's pretty interesting because they speak the same language, but they have kind of distinct cultures. Austria's culture is typically a more Bavarian culture. Meanwhile, Germany is not only Bavaria, though. It's got huge land. It's got more Nordic cultures in the north, more Polish in the east, and more Belgium and French in the west. So I think it would be an interesting Anschluss. So moving on now, I want to talk about the United States. And although you might think the United States is very important in this scenario, in reality, I think the United States actually changed a lot. Because with the Great War, one thing, first of all, women now started working the factories on a much larger scale. Sure, they were working before, but now they're also replacing the jobs that men used to hold. And on top of that, the American economy just grew even more during the Great War. Especially now with Henry Ford's assembly line with the Model T, I think that just became more mainstream during the Great War. So I think American industrialism and what you see of mass production, I think would be completely different in this scenario and delayed. So me and Nick were actually talking about this earlier as well, and the Great Depression was 100% delayed as a result of this Great War and this war economic boom, because war, if you're not getting damaged by the bombs, your economy booms because you have to produce more weapons, more guns, more uniforms. So I definitely think that the United States is harmed negatively in this situation because now they don't have this economic boom that we have in our timeline. So the 1920s aren't going to be a time of prosperity, but I think there's going to be a panic in between like there was in the panic of 1897. The panic of 1837, the panic of 1893. I think there's going to be another panic in the 1920s. And the 1920s aren't going to be remembered as these glamorous years, but I think they're going to be more remembered as economic instability. Not to the same extent as the Great Depression, but it's going to be unstable times with the boom-bust cycle being very unstable. It might spike one year and then all of a sudden tank the next. What do you think, Nick? Do you have any opinions on the American industrialization overall?
I was going to state specifically like we were talking about in our conversation before. We were talking about the boom-bust cycle and related to economics in the United States government. Of course, you list the Panic of 1837, and I was talking about the Panic of 1857, 1873, 1893, and we also started talking about more recent ones, for example, like we're talking about the 1970s, and that was mainly because for different foreign factors, for example, like OPEC. Wait, was it OPEC denying oil, correct?
The Arab coalition.
Yeah. It was the Arab coalition denying oil along with a bunch of other things, for example.
It wasn't necessarily, what it is actually they cut down supply because they thought the price was too cheap.
Okay. I'm just saying that's a point. I'm just stating a point. You know what I mean? And then we're also talking about, for example, the Great Recession of 2008 as well. But an important thing to mention here, I think there's two political factors that we also have to mention as well. And there's a saying for one of my first points is saying that socialism was killed off because of the First World War, at least the incarnation of socialism in this scenario. And so the reason why I would say is mainly because of the idea that socialism afterwards, because of the Soviet Union, for example, which would not exist in this timeline as we know, would basically not have a Red Scare. And socialism, while it definitely is a more quote-unquote scary option, it's definitely more of a probable option. And we definitely see more popularity as say, an economic recession would hit. And we saw this, for example, with FDR, for example, who people say is a socialist in a sense, for example, implementing some policies in the New Deal, inventing Social Security, along with his plans to create a national healthcare system. And in a sense like that, you could definitely say that, I guess, but I feel like at least in this scenario that socialism, or at least components of socialism, would be a little bit more acceptable, as there would be no red scare. And I also want to talk about Woodrow Wilson as well, because Woodrow Wilson, as we know, was elected in 1960 mainly because of anti-war sentiment, and he promised not to go to war. And I think that we also see, for example, and this guy will definitely be in a future episode, Secretary of State of Woodrow Wilson, and one of my favorite Americans in history, just because he's very interesting to read about. I feel as if, there wouldn't be any anti-war sentiment, at least because of the fact is that why would the United States get involved in a European war, for example, in Russia? And I do think there would definitely still be some economic benefit, but I feel like in terms of there's also one more thing, very important thing I want to mention, and that's purging of German culture, at least in the Midwest. As we know in actual history, Germanic culture was very prevalent in the Midwest, like Wisconsin, really all concentrated in the main industrial heartland, which is the Great Lakes region of the United States. And it was primarily Germanic, and then as a result of the First World War, that was all crushed. So what's your opinion about the 3 points, in a sense?
That's honestly an amazing point to bring up that I'd even consider. Because during the Great War, German culture was kind of oppressed and kind of destroyed, essentially. A lot of these Germans now, they had to adapt more Anglo-Saxon, they had to adopt more Anglo names and stuff like that. Just kind of changed their whole lifestyle to be more British lifestyle, essentially, more Anglo lifestyle, or more quote-unquote American, because they were all scared, essentially, that they were going to be German spies or whatever. So that's an amazing point to bring up. And I think that resulted in like this huge destruction of this rich culture, which I think without this scare, essentially, I think we would have this culture still. And I think the Midwest would be very Germanic still and not necessarily like Anglo as much. It'd be much more of a Germanic hotspot in the United States. And that's really something honestly interesting. And I think also in addition, even if there was a Second World War, which I think personally there would be, I don't think this purge would be the same exactly as this culture. And I think the culture would survive and even thrive compared to in our timeline.
And I actually would agree with that in a sense, because I think at that point, I think by the 1930s when a Second World War would occur, or First World War in a sense, I guess, if you want to say that, I feel like at least Germanic culture would be way too prevalent in the Midwest in order to just stamp it out. And I mean, heck, you could even see it for the Midwest. We can even see the Germanic culture or the Scandinavian culture even exists nowadays, for example, in sports teams. We see the Minnesota Vikings, the Milwaukee Brewers, a whole bunch of, associate like a brewery with German because Germans make great beer. And the Vikings, for example, Vikings come from Scandinavia. And why we still see examples of Germanic culture still being prevalent, at least in the Midwest today, I feel like would be much more prevalent. And I think you highlighted that point very well. And otherwise, that's really it for this episode of Back to the Past, the Alternate History Podcast. We hope you enjoyed very much. And if you want to follow our socials on Instagram and at Twitter, it is @backtothepast P1. And otherwise, hope you have a great day.